I invite you to go with us to Luke chapter 24. I know that Jeremy already covered the first part of the chapter, and then a little later on in the chapter, that the Lord has impressed on my heart the verses in between what He read and taught, and look at those for a little while. In Luke 24, verse number 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, I'm not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm going to stop reading there. That is the portion that God has placed on my heart. We often describe life like a journey, and it is. But we all realize that the journey isn't always an easy one. Things happen in the journey of life that often take us by surprise and shake our hearts. In this part of the resurrection story, Jesus meets with two walking on the road back to the little village of Emmaus. And like Jeremy already said, Emmaus was around 7 or 8 miles away from Jerusalem. But they were on their way home, and they were talking and discussing all that had happened in the last few days. You see, they were followers of Jesus Christ, and they were people that had listened to his preaching and teaching. They had seen the miracles that he had performed. But while in Jerusalem, they saw him arrested. They saw him tried. They saw him beaten, condemned to death, crucified, placed in the tomb. All of that had shaken their hearts. But now there was word that the angels appeared to the women, and the body is gone. What the angels have said was that he is risen, like he said. They were confused. They were hurting. And they were struggling, trying to take it all in. I say to our hearts today, just because we are believers and followers in Christ, we aren't exempt from burdened hearts. We aren't exempt from troubled lives. We aren't exempt from events and things that shake our lives and hearts. Adam preached so well this morning about Mary and the brokenness of her heart. But something unusual happened on this journey to Emmaus. I want to preach for a little while on this thought. When disappointment turns into a divine appointment. When disappointment turns into a divine appointment. I want to point out three things from this passage. First of all, I see the discouraged saints. Here are two saints of the Lord. I've read a lot of ideas about who they are. The Bible identifies one as Cleopas, but it doesn't tell us who the other is. There are some that say possibly a husband and wife, and that is very possible. Also, it could be a couple of men, Cleopas and another disciple, making their way home. But they're struggling to understand all that has happened in the last little while. And I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem was that their experience had not matched their expectations. Things had gone differently from what they expected. They had ideas that now Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Jesus, the one that'll establish His kingdom, has come. But I believe a key first to understand it all is found in verse 21. Him they say, but we had trusted that it had been He that should have redeemed Israel. The idea of we had trusted is that we had put all of our hope, all of our expectation, all of our dreams, all of what we thought was going to happen, all of that is now gone. I think that Jeremy said it kind of like this. And all of their hopes were sealed in the tomb. Everything that they had desired and expected had all changed. I imagine that there are people listening to me today who feel the same way. You imagine at this point in your life things to be so different. I imagine that years ago, 5, 10, 20 years ago, you had hopes, you had expectations, you had dreams in your mind of how things were going to be. You thought, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. This will happen. I'll do all of these things, but now you're sitting here today. And all of that's changed. That's where these two followers of Jesus were. I think about John the Baptist. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John had stood and saw Jesus at the Jordan River. Jesus said, "Baptize me." John says, "I am need to be baptized of you." John said, "I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loose his sandals." John saw him, told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew his place. John said, "I must decrease and he must increase." But I think about John sitting in Herod's prison. John is discouraged in heart. I guarantee you, John probably thought, "This wasn't how things were to wind up for me." John got his disciples and he sent them, "Go ask Jesus, are you the one that should come? Or should we look for another?" In my words, it's like John is saying, "Jesus, did I miss something somewhere? Did I miss something in what you taught and something in how things were to be?" And Jesus sent his disciples back and said, "Go tell John what things you've seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." But then he added one little phrase. He said, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." It's as though the Lord was saying, "Tell John all that you've seen. Let him know everything is right on schedule. Just like I wanted it to be. But then tell John there's a blessing that comes to those who don't get out of sorts with how I do things." Do you realize that sometimes we get all upset? "God, why did you let this happen? God, why did they leave? God, why did they die? God, why did they get cancer? Why can I not get better? Why am I not healed and others are? Lord, why is it like this?" But the Lord says, "Blessed are they who don't get out of sorts with how I do things in their life." You see, God has a plan and a purpose for all that touches our life. Satan may work Satan may hinder. Satan may do all that he can do. But in the end, God's got a plan that he will fulfill. So I see some discouraged saints. But then I noticed the deliberate stranger. Bible says, and they were walking and talking and reasoning. If you look at those words, they were deep in conversation. They were trying to figure it all out. But the Bible said while they were doing all that, Jesus joined them walking on the road. But the Bible says that he was hidden of them. I don't know how the Lord did it, but somehow the Lord blinded their eyes of recognizing who he was. And the Lord joined them and he said, "Why are you fellows walking and talking and reasoning, Dad? Why are you so sad?" That word sad actually means gloomy in heart and spirit. They were all down and discouraged in heart. And they asked him and said, "Are you a stranger? And don't you know what all's been happening in Jerusalem?" Jesus says what things? They begin to tell him. They began to pour their heart out to him. Can I just pause a minute and say, I believe he still wants us to pour out our hearts to him. When our heart is heavy, when our heart is broken, I believe we go to him and say, "God, my heart is so heavy because of it. Excuse me, these things." Give me a second. I believe he says, "What things? Tell me about it. Tell me what's got you burdened and troubled and broken in spirit. Tell me." But I do want you to see one thing before I move to the next thing. It says in verse 15, the scriptures, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I did a little reading about that phrase that Jesus drew near and went with them. We don't see it in the English language, but in the Greek language, the idea is that they were so absorbed in their conversation that actually Jesus had been walking with them before they ever realized he was there. You say, "Preacher, why is that important?" Because there are times we're so absorbed with our situations. Adam talked about it. I'll be honest, it amazes me how God put the message, the lesson, and now the preaching all together. Sometimes we are so absorbed, but we don't realize He was walking with us all the time. They were walking down the Emmaus Road. They were talking. They were discussing. But all the while, Jesus was walking with them and they didn't recognize it. Can I just tell you something today? He knows right where you are on your journey. He knows the burdens of your heart. He knows the discouragement you feel. But He's been walking with you through all of those tough days and all of those hard times. Maybe you didn't see Him. Maybe you didn't realize He was there. But all the while He was walking right along with you. Jan testified a while ago about what a hard thing it was to stand at the graveside of her son. But do you realize that from the very first of it all, from the moment they got the news, through the following days till they walked that walk to the cemetery, there was one walking with them all the way. From the time that Kevin got his first diagnosis that there was cancer. And I guarantee there were some low days. There were some low times. But walking every step of the way was Jesus right alongside. Same with Henry and the same for Holly. Jesus was walking with you. When you find yourself walking on that lonely Emmaus road, empty and hard and troubled and burdened, there'll be one walking with you. There'll be one just walking right along. Maybe you don't always see, but somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Somewhere where you least expect it, He'll show up. And He'll begin to talk to you. Our time's gone. Let me give you one last thought. I see the disclosing of the Scriptures. Because Jesus, after they poured out their heart, Jesus says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to understand." You say that's a little rough on them. Well, when you understand the words Jesus was saying, it actually is the idea that they are just not getting it. Jesus said, you're slow to understand all of what the Scriptures have said concerning Christ in His death. Bible said Jesus went back to Moses, and Jeremy mentioned this. And He told them about Jesus all through the Scriptures. I've often told you, I've got a vivid imagination at times. I begin to imagine what it must have been like. Jesus said, let me just tell you a little bit. You remember the story about Noah and the ark? That ark represented Jesus. There was only one door. Jesus had called on the door. I believe he probably said, let me say about Abraham and the time he went to offer Isaac. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham sacrificed the ram. He probably said Jesus was the ram. I wonder if he went back to the time in Egyptian bondage. Said, you fellas, y'all read about the blood of the lamb on the doorpost in the lintel of the door. Jesus was the Passover lamb. He probably walked them through the Psalms, talking about prophecy after prophecy about Jesus dying for our sins. I imagine he gave them Isaiah 53 about how he was the suffering servant of God. There's a lot of things I've thought about the Bible that I'd like to have been there to experience. And I think this one is probably number one on my list. I would love to have been there that day as the incarnate Word of God taught them the written Word of God. Man, what it would have been like to hear Jesus himself describe through the Old Testament pictures of himself. Jesus started to walk on past. When they got to Emmaus, they said, come on in, days far spent. So he went in. They still didn't recognize him. But they sat down to break bread together. Jesus blessed it, broke it, gave them the bread. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He vanished out of their sight. Preacher, what do you think caused them to realize who he was? I tend to think is when he handed them bread, they saw nail prints in his hand. They realized this is him. This is him. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? As he read, talked about the scriptures. Can I tell you something? When your heart's heavy, when life is pressing hard on you, one thing you ought to do is take a walk with Jesus through the Word. Let him take you to promise after promise, assurance after assurance. Because as you walk with him in the Word, he'll burn your heart with him and give you strength. There may be somebody today sitting here and you're glad it's Easter, but there is the burden of your heart because of things that are going on in your life. I want you to know there's one walking with you that knows where you are and knows what you're dealing with. Sometimes He just wants you to pour out your heart and say, He says, tell me these things. And you just tell Him all about it. Because He cares. Joseph Scriven lived in Ireland years and years ago. On the day before Joseph Scriven was to be buried, his fiancée drowned. It devastated Joseph's heart. In time, he moved away from Ireland, moved to Canada. There he began to write poems and things. And when he got word his mother in Ireland was at the point of death, Joseph sent this particular poem over to his mom. It's a poem in time became a hymn that we're all familiar with. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Even with broken and troubled hearts, He's a friend that walks with us, encourages our hearts, strengthens us on the journey. Maybe today you just need to draw closer to Him, facing all you're dealing with in life and burden so greatly in your heart. Maybe He's speaking to you today and saying, tell me all about it. Just talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your heart. You can bring that to Him today. And He'll listen. He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you for all you're facing in life. Brother Kevin, would you get us a song? We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. But I want you to be sensitive to the Lord today. I said a while ago, it's amazed me how God has put all of these things together. How that the Lord used what Adam preached and what Jeremy taught in this message. And God just seem to weave it all together. That there is a risen Savior who cares about your needs today. While we stand and while we sing, if there's a need in your heart, this altar is open today.
Look at 295.